Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
It's Here and Now. The death toll from yesterday's train crash in Spain now stands at 78, and investigators are focusing on the mounting evidence that the driver may have been going far too fast as the train made a big turn. It is the latest in a series of disasters this year, all of which have come with vivid sound and video. There was that train crash in Lac-Mégantic in Quebec, caught on video, which starts out with the video taker saying, "Don't worry about me."
Oui, t'inquiète pas pour moi, ok? Oh mon Dieu! Oh mon Dieu! Oh my God!
There was also the video from the crash of the Asiana flight as it was landing in San Francisco.
Look at that one. Look how his nose is up in the air. Oh my God! Oh, it's an accident!
Oh, you're filming it too!
And there was the video of the massive meteorite that landed in Russia, injuring hundreds of people in February of this year. It was recorded by many dashboard cameras. So what does this do to us psychologically to keep seeing these disaster videos over and over again? Eric Wilson is professor of English at Wake Forest University. He's the author of the book Everyone Loves a Good Train Wreck, Why We Can't Look Away. And he's with us now from the studios of WFDD in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And Eric, start by telling us, why can't we look away?
Well, there are many reasons, ranging from the most basic physiological to more complicated psychological reasons. Our morbid curiosity basically brings out what is the worst in us and the best in us. On a very basic level, when we witness violence, destruction, we have a physiological rush. Our heart rate goes up. We release hormones. But I think also there are psychological draws to macabre experiences. I think there's a feeling of we're looking at something we should not see. And there's a titillation to the taboo. We feel bad for looking at it, but yet we get a rush because we can look at it.
And now we really can look at it because everybody's got a smartphone with a camera on it and everything is recorded.
That's right. And being able to watch these videos in the privacy of your own home adds to the excitement. We know that no one can watch us watching. But I think, too, when we watch a disaster, there's also a feeling of relief sometimes. We often feel, gosh, I'm glad that wasn't me. And that can be selfish, obviously. It can be sort of exploiting someone else's suffering for your own little quick pleasure. But I think sometimes that feeling of relief might turn into something a little nobler in us, a feeling of empathy, that when we see someone else suffering, we also might imagine, well, gosh, what if that happened to me? What if that happened to one of my loved ones? And it can open us up into a more kind of generous sensibility toward the world.
But what does it do to us? I mean, this is something that has not been around for a long time. We haven't had a video of every single disaster for decades and decades and decades. This is pretty new.
I think it does quite a few things to us. On the one hand, being able to have full access all the time to these destructive videos, it can be traumatic after a while. I read accounts of some of the physicians and rescue workers on the ground at 9/11, and they were deeply traumatized because there was no buffer between themselves and the suffering. So too much can actually be traumatic for someone viewing. Also, watching these videos too much can lead to a kind of numbness. You see one disaster video, you need more and more and more destructions, more and more and more video to give you that rush that you need.
Do you think that media outlets have a responsibility to not rerun it over and over again, as many of them did with the train crash in Spain yesterday?
I think that this is information out there in the world, and it's going to be difficult to get media outlets not to show this. I mean, one can show these videos in the name of sound journalism, I would imagine. I think it's up to the viewers to choose how often we watch these videos and ultimately figure out why we're watching these videos. If we're doing it for a cheap thrill, obviously we should question ourselves. If in the midst of watching these videos we're thinking more deeply about the meaning of suffering and the meaning of death, then perhaps meditating on these videos isn't such a bad thing.
So I grew up in Tornado Alley, and a tornado even hit my hometown when I was a kid. And I was always fascinated by tornadoes. I wanted to see them. I wanted to see them up close until the age of YouTube videos of tornadoes, where we see what happens up close when a tornado hits. And I just want to play one video.
Okay, just a little bit. You can see. Oh my gosh, it's right there. Okay, just go slow, go slow. It's gonna cross the road right up there. It's gonna cross the road. You saw. Oh gosh. Okay.
Got it.
There. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
So now, after seeing so many of these videos up close and what a tornado really does, I don't want to see one. I don't want to be anywhere near one.
I had that feeling after watching the 9/11 footage. I had that feeling after watching footage of one of the beheadings in the early days of the Iraq war. I find that my appetite for that destruction is actually not that big, even though I'm interested in macabre experience. I ultimately think it comes down to personal sensibility. I will say this, though, when there is a kind of international disaster, I think another draw for watching this is that in a world where we often feel isolated, when we often feel trapped in front of our own computer screen, trapped in our own rooms, having virtual experiences, not real contact, suddenly we're part of an international community of mourners. And I think that feels satisfying to us. We are all at the same time mourning this horrible tragedy in Spain. And that often happens, too, when a celebrity dies. So there again, I think your motivation behind why you watch these videos is really decisive for the kind of experience it's going to be.
There's a novel by Jonathan Safran Foer about the World Trade Center collapse. And there's a little boy whose father is killed in it after he jumps out of the tower, as many people did in real life. And the little boy gets a flip book, and he flips it so that he sees his father jumping back into the tower. And that is what soothes him and brings him some peace. What do you think about that?
I read that novel over the summer and was profoundly moved by it. And I think that this is a key point that the novel makes, is that imagination plays a tremendous role in how we're going to be affected by this violent footage. If we can imagine the violence in such a way that it becomes meaningful for us, suddenly suffering can become meaningful, death can become meaningful, and I think there can be something healing in watching the videos with a certain frame of mind, a kind of generous opening toward the fact that, well, we all suffer, and if we all suffer together, then in some ways we are made more human and we are more healed when we recognize that.
Eric Wilson is professor of English at Wake Forest University. He's the author of the book Everyone Loves a Good Train Wreck, Why We Can't Look Away. Eric, thanks so much for speaking with us.
You're welcome.
Well, what do? Do you look away or do you watch when these disaster clips come on? We've seen it just in the last 24 hours, this train wreck over and over again on CNN. Go to hereandnow.org and let us know.
Okay. And by the way, as you said, you can watch as a way of getting an empathy here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.